We welcome Betty Zurawicki of Amsterdam, whose grandson was in the documentary and a soldier in Afghanistan. He's now Major Dan Kearney. The documentary called Restrepo, I believe, was shown last night on television. Is that true, Betty?
Yes, yes. It can be reached on demand. I don't know if it's still going to be on or not. But it was shown last night. That was the primary one.
Did you watch it last night?
Yes, I did. Mm. Yeah.
Had you seen it before?
I had seen it in the movie theater in Albany.
Okay. Any thoughts on it, seeing it then the second time?
Well, it certainly isn't a family film, but I think it's a very authentic version of what goes on with these young men. I was a little bit disappointed because the young man who received the Medal of Honor last week or 2 weeks ago, he was a member of the company, and of course he hadn't been awarded the medal yet, or hadn't even been considered for it. So that wasn't in the film. But to know that your grandson's, one of his soldiers, was awarded the Medal of Honor, I think that's pretty outstanding.
Mm. And again, I always seem to get this messed up. It's called Restrepo,
yes.
And that's the name of the place, but the name of the place was the name of a man who had been in the unit who had been killed, right?
Correct. And they named, the soldiers named their outpost. They were on the mountain in the Karango Valley there, as you could see, and the area that they built for themselves to live, that was the outpost, the KOP, the Karango Outpost, and that was named after Doc Restrepo, a member of the company that was killed.
Mm. Now, the Medal of Honor recipient, he did not die, right? Or wrong?
No. He was the first one. I'm not quite sure about that. But
since Vietnam,
in 40 years, yeah. He's a living recipient of the Medal of Honor.
Mm-hmm. And
his name is Guinta, or I could look in the.
Sure.
I have the book in front of me. There was a book published by Sebastian Younger, who wrote. What did he write?
I think the book was called War. Was it not?
Yes. And that the episode where the Medal of Honor battle took place, or insurgency, or whatever you call it, I'm not quite sure about that.
Mm-hmm.
That's depicted quite clearly in the book.
I did hear the two filmmakers interviewed on the public channel, Sebastian
mm-hmm.
Younger and the other man, and I got the impression that they were there holding this outpost, but the Americans no longer hold it or something like that? And they left there?
I don't know who's there now, but I know Danny's home. He's at Fort Benning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about that, Bob.
I bet you're glad Danny's home.
Yes, yes. And he's Dan. I still call him Danny, of course.
I see, he's Dan. Yes. Probably wouldn't call your captain Danny, no.
No, I don't think so.
No.
I particularly liked the ending of the documentary last night, where when Dan came home and little Danny met him, and Lauren was there and interviewed, and of course the baby didn't know his dad, but the little one did, the 3-year-old did.
That's how it ended when the soldiers came home from this.
That was when Danny his wife and the kids were there waiting for him when he came home, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they just had a little tale on the end of the documentary.
Well, you used a word that I think, you know, probably summarizes it, you know, when we started talking, and that word is authentic. That's what I gather about this particular
Absolutely.
Piece.
It's not a family film by any means, and it just shows you what they go through, how they live, what they eat, you know, how they get fed, and how they're ambushed. I think that's a good word to use. They are often surrounded and have to fight their way through it again.
And the two filmmakers, I heard them say in their interview something to the effect, or one of them said it, that he wasn't a military, you know, neither one of them are military people, quote unquote, but apparently they must be physically fit and things of that nature to be able to do this. But they said they were impressed with the military operation. You know, they're able, that, you know, the soldiers are trained to be able to survive, you know, not always, of course. And they have all kinds of methods, you know, like a method to get food up there and a method to, you know, to make the most secure perimeter you can and so forth.
It's outstanding what they do. And the photographer's name, I think, is Tim Hetherington.
Mm-hmm.
And they were right there with you could tell from the films that they were authentic, and they were right there living among the men.
In fact, I think Mr. Hetherington broke his leg, or else it was Mr. Younger. I heard that on the interview, and that's when he said he thought the soldiers really accepted him, that he didn't ask for any special treatment. He just hobbled down the mountain himself to go to get treated.
It was an authentic, as you said, documentary of what goes on, how they live, their lack of sleep, their... I noticed they were smoking, though.
Well, I mean, you know, when you're in a situation like that, I suppose you figure,
why not?
Yeah.
I know, but I wondered how they got the cigarettes. I thought that was neat. I mean, that's a good way to, if you are a smoker, to take a bit of tension away, perhaps, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, Betty, I thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much, Bob. I really appreciate your interest. And I just want you to know how proud I am and how grateful I am to you.